The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
So there I was, Flock. There I was. I was down in Dallas. I was there for a work event. And, you know, and I know, like, hey, I'm not going to be able to watch this game. I won't be able to watch this game live. So I happen to be an Xfinity customer, still pay through the nose for cable. So I'm able to DVR the game at home. And then I'm able to, you know I could watch it later from the laptop. Had to tell all my colleagues, hey, I don't want to hear anything. Don't, no tips. Don't joke about it. Nothing. Turn my phone off. Get done around, I don't know, probably about midnight local, so 1 a.m. Eastern, maybe it's 12:30 Eastern, because I'm in Dallas, so you got to, you know, the whole hour thing. And I get back to the hotel after like a 40-minute ride, because it was kind of far away from where we were at, maybe 30 minutes, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit. It just seemed to take a long time because I wanted to get back there. So get back to the hotel, make sure I got some waters, make sure I have something to snack on, which the nice 24-hour market did a nice job of that. The game begins. I know nothing. I see no updates. I even turned notifications off on my laptop so I wouldn't see anything hit me when I opened the laptop up. So I thought about all this. And I got to say, the separation's in the preparation, right? So was able to speed through the game and watch the entire game, watch us go down early, watch us win it late, watch us run out the clock. And it was so nice. I was able to shut the laptop, 27-24, Seahawks victory, watching Rodgers kind of get all pouty, pull the covers over, you know, and just kind of drift off to sleep with victory. So huge. Talked about it last week, viewed it as an elimination game, because in my opinion, it absolutely was an elimination game. We come out on top. Now we're 5-5. But this caused an issue for me. I watched it super late at night. I sped through all the commercials. I was even speeding through some of the replays just to make sure I didn't fall asleep, right? Just get to the plays. So I didn't watch it with the intensity that I normally would. I certainly wasn't taking notes because at this point it's probably like 2 a.m. and I'm just trying to watch the rest of the game. So I'm like, you know what? Like, I didn't take good notes this week. So I need to open this thing up. Why don't I Flock source this? I didn't watch the game with pen and paper. I don't have my ledger. I'm not going to have time this week to go back. So why don't I open this thing up to the masses that are the 12-12s, to the Flockers out there, and see what they come back with. So I Flock sourced it. I put it out on Facebook this week and said, hey, Flock, what do you think? If you were doing 3-3 outs this week, what would you do? So this entire episode is shaped and created by you, the Flock. So we'll go through at least 6 of them. We're still going to keep to the same format. I might pull out a few others that I really like, but a big, big, huge thanks to the entire Flock out there on the Seahawkers Pod Ring of Honor on Facebook. You're the ones who put this together. So this episode in its entirety is dedicated to you. So hey, Flock, you might have noticed by now this one is an audio-only version. If you didn't notice by now, I'm not sure what you're doing. Maybe you're just listening audio and you didn't know anyway, but no video this week. I won't have the time with the crunch of Thanksgiving. And for me, it was either get something out that I hope you all like, and or it's in jeopardy of getting out at all. So I kind of have a mantra in life that, you know, done is better than perfect. Kind of perfect is an illusion anyway. So let's get it done. Let's do something good. And let's get on to our Thanksgiving feasts that are coming right up. I'm doing this on Tuesday morning, and our Thanksgiving feasts are coming right up on Thursday. So it's going to be a blast. And we get the family, we get the food, we get the football, you know, and it's just a great, great holiday. So I am extremely fired up for this Thursday. So you get the audio version, but again, it's going to be centered around everything you did. I do want to say I have one regret. I have one major regret for not doing video. And that is, it's a regret, but it's also a shout out. It's a regret in the sense that I know that Floctimus Prime, you know, a.k.a. Keith Kettover, I'm not sure which one is the mild mannered self and which one is the superhero, which is the gift father, because he's an amazing human being. But Keith Kettover last week, when I did a video version, I kind of hit him up on Facebook and said, hey, I was like, there's one in here that is really, really gift worthy. And I didn't tell him which one. I wanted to see if he could pick it out in surprise. And of course, you know, I knew he would, because I know the man is the gift father. You don't get a name like the gift father, unless you are the gift father. So, of course, Floctimus comes through, and he comes through with a unlimited locket, which we got to see a little bit this week. So come Sunday, I'm looking forward to seeing some more unlimited locket versus the Panthers. So that one regret is also a shout out. So I want to say a big thank you to Keith, aka Floctimus Prime, aka Keith Kettover, for picking that one out and making a brand new gift, which is a heck of a lot of fun. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to do better. Get in the flock.com, get into the Seahawkers Pod Ring of Honor, because it is the most fun way to watch a Seahawks game in the universe, in the multiverse. And I just saw Infinity War, I should say, on the way back from Dallas. And man, oh man, that is a damn good movie. All right, on to this week's 3 in 3 out. All right, so let's, I almost forgot. Wow, I mean, and you, it got pointed out to me by the flock. I think it was J.C. Stringer. J.C., I think it was you who said, we know we're going to get to hear because we have a rule. We have very, very few rules on 3 in 3 out. The only rule really in this whole thing, this wild, wild west that is 3 in 3 out, this wild, wild Pacific Northwest, if you will. The only rule we really have is when we win, we start with an in, and man, we won. So let's start with an in. So I was able to comb. You guys really came through. You dropped like, I don't know, like 60 some odd comments when you count the sub comments, which is awesome, for different ins and outs. And some of you wrote basically an entire article, which I'm parsing through and I'm blown away. So thank you for doing that. But there's one that I really want to start with because it kind of embodies this whole team. This is about a veteran. This is about a cagey guy that's been here for many, many years. This is about a man that has been always kind of overlooked and has always had a chip on his shoulder. And let's be flat fair, this is about the handsomest man on the Seattle Seahawks. We are talking, of course, about Annalisa's husband. We are talking about angry Doug Baldwin. We're talking about elite Doug Baldwin. But I would say Tim Moon, Annalisa, Aaron Hood, and some others all came through with a, hey, Baldwin looked like Baldwin. So to me, that is the first in. That's a huge in. Want to concentrate on that in just for a few seconds longer. The thing here is, like, listen, we always know what you're going to get effort wise with Baldwin. That's, you know, that's self-evident, right? That's some table stakes with Baldwin in a great way. Lots of players are not like that. But what we saw out there in this game was just that vintage, amazing route running, right? This is why Baldwin is so good. Baldwin doesn't have 4.4 speed. He does have great hands. Do we mention he's devastatingly handsome? Do we mention that for Annalisa? I think we did. But what makes him a special talent in this league, which is, you know, immersed with tons of special talent or permeated with tons of special talents, is the fact that he can create separation by being one of the top route runners in the entire league. There was a one play down the right hand side. I forget which quarter. I apologize. Where he kind of did the out. He did like the up and out and up and out and then back out. It was like a little triple. Maybe it was a triple Lindy. It might have been Thornton Mellon. That might have been someone yelling, Thornton, we need you. Get your suit on. I'm not sure. Again, I was watching the game late. So if anybody heard that or saw some heckling from Robert Downey Jr. from the stands, let me know. We could confirm that. Anyway, I'm pretty sure Doug Baldwin did the triple Lindy and he got open and a beautiful like 18-yard strike or something like that down the sidelines. It was just vintage Doug. He gets open and gets that separation on the little fade into the end zone for his first touchdown of the year. They go surfing USA together as a unit. Loved it all. So want to give some props to Tim, to Annalisa, and to Aaron. Tim Moon, Aaron Hood, and Annalisa. Others may have put it in there as well, but for me, that was in number one. Seeing Baldwin just be Baldwin and kind of get back to that level of health, that spells some really good things for this offense as we come down the stretch. And man, what a time. What a time of the year to get a player of that caliber back into the fold, healthy, 100%. A Hawker is going off the charts. That's a first in. All right, over to an out. All right, flying over to our first out. We got a couple that came in from the likes of Colin Stringer and, of course, Hong Kong Hawk, Dave Bloomquist. Dave, let me just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man, for me not to put you on that list of usual suspects. And then, in fact, I did, but then the first one got botched, and then, you know, I had to go back and put a new one out, and I forgot you on that one. I want to say I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry. I'm hoping for forgiveness. I feel the Hawk Rub will wash us over, and we'll be cleansed, and I feel like we'll be cool. But I do appreciate being called out on that, because if you can't break my stones, then what the heck? You know, what are we doing in society, right? So I love that. I love the fact that you came at me and said, I mean, how the heck am I not on that list? So you were right. You are right. I need to do better. So, but this one is, you're not getting this out because you called me out. You're getting the out because it's a good observation. But this one with Colin Stringer and Dave Bloomquist really talking about the pre-snap penalties, but two sides to the coin here, both kind of hovering around the same out, if you will. There's an electron, there's a proton, and then the nucleus here for this out is the actual pre-snap penalty issue. So Colin went on the side of, man, we got to clean that up. Like, first of all, we're home. Second of all, you know, many, many times throughout the last couple of years, really like 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, we would just kill ourselves. Really 2015 on, we've just killed ourselves with demoralizing pre-snap penalties that just shut down very promising drives. Fortunately, this time we actually overcame that a couple of times, but super frustrating to have that first half specifically so many pre-snap penalties at home. I mean, they just can't have that. So appreciate Colin bringing that to the forefront. Now, Dave's take was the weak sauce of Seattle kind of blaming that, hey, Green Bay was shifting and maybe shifting illegally at the line. Now, again, I watched the game late. I didn't dive too much into it, but I also just don't love the blaming of somebody else. I mean, were they shifting illegally? I mean, I don't even know. How does a defense shift illegally? They seem to be doing legal things, just kind of moving. I don't really get that argument. But so if someone wants to enlighten or, you know, drop some comments when this comes out about if that was indeed illegal from the Packers standpoint, then fine, let's talk about that. But I agree with you, Dave, like, you know, talking about somebody on the defensive side doing something that's making you jump. Well, that's kind of part of their job, right? So I didn't like that one bit either. But either way, the nucleus there is the need to, hey, you know what? We don't have to make excuses about the Packers doing something that may or may not be illegal. Again, I can't see how it is. If we just don't have these pre-snap penalties. So let's clean that up. You know, we still got the Panthers. We still got the Vikings. We still got the Chiefs. And by the way, do not overlook these 49ers. Don't go thinking that the two games against the 49ers are just check the box wins. Now, should we win those games? Of course we should win those games. But if you're watching, the 49ers are playing pretty good football. The 49ers can run the ball. The 49ers are playing hard. They're playing tough. Again, we should win those games, but don't just mentally check those off as W's and go on a merry way and then focus on the Chiefs. There's going to be wood to chop every single week. So these pre-snap penalties, they've got to go. That's the first out. So a big thank you to Colin. And then Dave, a thank you to you. And again, you didn't get it because you called me out. You got it because you deserved it. All right, back to an in. All right, so for those in the flock or those just arriving in the flock, maybe you're on the precipice or in the vestibule to becoming part of the flock. And if you're there, you really ought to just take the jump. I mean, geez, starts at $1 a month, right? So get in the flock.com, go figure that out. Level yourself up if you're already in. And if you can, then get into the Seahawkers pod ring of honor, because again, all these thoughts and ideas and conversations are happening on this group, on the Facebook page, and it's quite awesome. If you do listen to 3 and 3 Out, you know that the mantra is kind of to dig into the nooks and into the crannies and to find things that are below the surface level. And, you know, a couple of you absolutely did that. So thank you for bringing things that were not surface level. One in particular I absolutely loved. She said on Facebook that maybe she was a little tardy to the party and got here late to the game. You know what? That doesn't matter. I wasn't recording until this moment, and you got it in. So like it's binary. It's either it's in or it's not. You were in. So your in is now an in. What I loved about this from Rebecca Christensen is that she focused on something really small. She focused on the stones and the gumption and the wherewithal and the knowledge for Pete Carroll to throw that challenge flag on that more catch. You know, I'm going to say it like that. I'm going to say on that more catch with, you know, the inflection being still questioning that, because I still don't know what a catch is in the NFL, in the modern NFL. I see scores like 54 to 51, and I'm not really sure I enjoy that. I want some more smash mouth. I want some more defense. That's fine. That's going to ebb and that's going to flow. I still don't know exactly what a catch is. But on that more play down the sideline, you know, you could tell that he goes up, he gets it. He does take like 2.5 steps. The ball begins to jostle and he kind of fumbles it forward. It's ruled incomplete in real time. It looks super fast. You really can't tell what the heck's happening. But we've seen this year that there was kind of a policy change or a shift change in the NFL to help clean up what is and what is not a catch. So, you know, apparently Carroll knows. This is the second time this year he's thrown a challenge on one where I'm like, ugh, that's kind of dicey. I really don't know. And we've won. So this in goes to Carroll and his team on the sideline and to Rebecca for bringing this one out. That was a big, big play, a conscious, heady decision. I think heady came up during the broadcast too. But that was a great decision by Carroll. And it's those little things that bring us victories, right? So they all add up. So Rebecca, great job pulling that one out. You were the only one to flag that one. And again, I'm not giving it to you because you're the only one who flagged it. You get the in because I thought it was a really cool observation. I thought that's the kind of in that I would go dig for myself if I was watching it properly with my ledger and my beer and everything else. But it was 2 a.m. and I probably had Cheeto dust all over me. And it sounds as bad as it is. All right, let's get on over to the next out. Good job, Rebecca. All right, so sometimes when you flock source and you go out to the community and say, what do you think? You're going to see some things that, you know what, that maybe I don't fully agree with, but it's also like a 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong type thing, or a 50 million little flockers can't be wrong. So saw this a couple times, and when thinking about it, you know, it's legit, it's relevant. So I want to give some shine to Lisa Carlson and, of course, DCH, so Doug on that side. So, and I think some others too, but, you know, but there's a lot of threads to get through, and I've got a day job, believe it or not. So, but both of you in this case kind of picked out the first half for us. And DCH, I think you framed it up a little bit more firmly with the frustration of the 2018, hey, which Russ are we going to get? We did see him miss in that first half just a couple of wide open people. And you know what? It does happen. And I get the frustrations. And again, I've seen it a couple of times. So 50 million flockers can't be wrong. For me, I always look at the whole, well, first of all, we won, right? First of all, we won. Second of all, we didn't have that clutchness this year where in the fourth quarter, we haven't had those awesome comebacks and those last second drives or that last touchdown drive in a couple of games previous. And this time we did get it, right? So I look at the whole and say, hey, the game itself is kind of a marathon. Obviously we get the W, but hey, but the critique is legitimate. The critique is legit. And I think that one that really got everybody fired up is that misfire to Baldwin, right? So Baldwin was kind of right down the seam. I think he ran like a little skinny post or something like that. One of those plays where he's got separation from either the corner or the safety. He is well beyond the linebackers. So he's got plenty of depth, you know, behind the linebackers, and he's sitting right at the goal line. Those are balls that, you know, we are just so accustomed to Russ not missing pretty much ever, right? I mean, the ball is just there. It's on time. And that would have been a nice six for Baldwin earlier in the game. And it's just a blatant, blatant miss. So you know what? That was, I'll give it to you. So Lisa, so DCH, that was frustrating. That is a legitimate out. So let's move it over to our last and not least in. Let's get there. Okay, so if you listened last week, there was I had a ledger problem, right? I had a problem, the fact that even though we had just lost to the Rams by a little bit, I had so many more things on the outside of the column that I wanted to share than I did on the inside of the column. And I was like, you know what? That's probably indicative of a loss. This week, it is the exact opposite. I've got two more that I really want to share as an in, and there's less on the loss side this week, which again, it's just like reading the tea leaves. Well, I guess tea leaves is kind of a predictive thing versus a reactive to what we're seeing from analysis, but there's more good stuff to talk about, which is just a good sign. So I'm going to give you one, and then I'll put a bonus one in later because I think it's worthy. I think it's kind of got something a little fun to say to it. This one I like a lot because this one is, again, it's one of those nooks, one of those crannies. Going back to Colin Stringer, Colin pointed out that between Vinette and Dixon, in this game, Dixon, they're kind of going back and forth with taking turns scoring huge touchdowns. And it's making us go like, Jimmy who? You know, like, Jimmy Graham's years here? Like, what were they about? So I liked Jimmy Graham when he was here. I was a big proponent of Jimmy. We talk about hearing Jimmy a lot. And, you know, I did like his time with Seattle. So I'm not going to crap on the guy now that he's not here. However, Colin's point is still highly legitimate and a great little nook and cranny. The bottom line is Vinette and Dixon have caught some huge passes this year, some tough passes. And they've been in like the biggest moments. They've very often been for 6 points and very often put us in a position to either win the game or to win the game. I guess I said the same thing there with a different emphasis on the syllables. But the point being is our tight ends are coming up huge. You know, you go to the game box there, whatever you call that with the stats where they put it inside a box. I forget the actual name, but when you're going to look at the stats, you know, Vinette and Dixon are not blowing things up. However, they've got a couple of key catches per game and they are getting the red zone touchdowns, which of course you want from your tight end. That's not, you know, that's not rocket surgery in itself right there. But it's the superset in is probably got to give a little shine to Schottenheimer, right? This red zone offense is just damn good. You know, knock on wood, knock on everything. Our red zone offense is precise. You know, that's kind of the word of what you need when you get down within the 20 and even within like the 15 or 12. It's a combination of two different things. Our line is just extremely better and we've got better backs, so that's going to help. But I got to give the love to Schottenheimer, man. He just is scheming things so that players like Baldwin, like Dixon, like Vinette can get open enough. We're not saying that you know, you can't get that much separation in 10 yards. Open enough. And then got to give love to Russ too, right? So the in starts with this week with Dixon. So give Colin some credit for coming up with that one. That's a great in. But the tight ends are making big plays, specifically in the red zone. So Schottenheimer gets the love there. And then you know what? I mean, Russ inside the red zone, again, knock on wood, Russ has been tossing dimes all year long. And we are a very, very good, very efficient red zone team this year, something we have not been in the past. So, Colin, good job there. That's the last in. I will give everybody a bonus in, but it'll be after this last legit out. All right, flying on over to the last out. So a couple of you brought this up. I saw Tim again. I think I saw Hector Mark chime in. So Tim Moon, Hector Mark, and some others discussing the slow start, right? So it's kind of a story in two parts. The slow start this week was really heavily contributed to that early turnover. So listen, I am a huge Chris Carson fan. I think he is leagues above Mike Davis. And I still think Davis is a little bit better than Penny, although Penny has done some really good things to close that delta between he and Davis. Carson, you know, somebody else, I forget who it was, I apologize. This would have been an in unto itself, like the yards after contact. Carson had some beautiful runs, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 yard chunk runs where he's hit at the 3 yard marker. You see at the 2 yard marker, and he's just carrying dudes forward and just moving the pile forward and just getting those extra yards. So, but this is an out, right? So the out is just around the slowness of our starts, right? So it has not really plagued us all that much this year. In fact, some of the games we lost, we had opening drives that were, you know, very successful touchdown drives with our first possession. But it is frustrating being down, what was it, 14-3, right? So being down early and just getting that, oh man, what's going to happen here? That you at 14-3, you're really like one bad defensive play away from game over. You know, you're a one slip, one mess up, one assignment thing that's just that gets blown away from being in too big of a hole where your entire game plan is just tossed out the window, and then we become predictable and yada yada yada. Didn't happen that way, so we can't focus or dwell on that. But I'd give this out to the two sides of, hey, Carson, he knows he's got to hold on to the ball. What I did love is that Carroll and Schottenheimer were unafraid to go back to Carson, even though they got two other capable backs. They still understood, hey, Carson is our best back, and this is going to be a very physical game, just up the gut running, and it was. And they still fed Carson. You know, Carson got the touchdown later. He had 80 some odd yards. He ended up having a good yard per carry average. So Carson ended up having an overall good game. But the early turnover paired with the slow start defensively, whew, man, it was a little ugly. It was a bit ugly. So as we come down the stretch, there's just some things to button up there. So that last out is just the mixture, if you will, the mixture of the slow start plus the early turnover. Can't do that. Have to button it up. Have to have those things right. But I gotta say, I forget the character's name from American Pie, where they're staring at Stifler's mom, the painting of Stifler's mom, and he goes, "What's the dude's name?" Somebody out there knows me. He's like, "Confidence is high." I repeat, confidence is high. So for me, my confidence as we head into the remainder of this season, the last 6 weeks of the season, is pretty darn high. I feel and I felt for many weeks that this is a playoff caliber team. This team can make a run at the right time and can do some damage. We still got wood to chop. All right, I did promise everybody a bonus in. So let's hop over to that bonus in real quick. Okay, so here's a bonus in. Like I said earlier, my ledger, or your ledger, which I agreed with, is just the cup overfloweth on the side of the ins this week. And there's one that I think is super, super cool to discuss. So the idea of this kind of three-headed monster, right? So in the running back scenario, we were just discussing, we got Carson, we got Davis, we got Penny. Penny's showing signs of doing some special things. His lateral side to side, his, you know, his Danielson side to side, is quite good. He's sanding the floor and he's doing some big things. This three-headed monster, the in, doesn't really go to the running backs. Like the running backs, you know, I'll give them the shine to lead it up, but it is the O-line. And why is the O-line successful? Like, peel it back one more layer, get down to one more cranny. This is all about Solari, right? So this bonus in goes to Solari. But when I start thinking about three-headed monsters, I don't know if there's any Godzilla fans out there, but remember that three-headed dragon that kind of shoots the electricity, by the name Ghidorah, right? So you had Ghidorah, and he was a mean one. I think he lived on Mars in the annals of Godzilla history there. But he's that three-headed dragon monster that kind of just hits you with the lightning bolts, and he's a pretty badass dragon named Ghidorah. And if you say it with that Japanese accent, he's a Ghidorah. So what I want to profess is that our three-headed monster is called Solari. So whenever you see all three of our guys balling out back there, it's not just the three of them. It's not just the old line. It's the man behind the man behind the man who goes by the name of Solari. So that is the bonus in, with a little love for Godzilla, or Godzilla, a little love for Ghidorah, and of course, some brand new love for Solari, our three-headed monster driven by that man. Cam! Oh, Cam! All right, we are heading into, what is that, Bank of America Stadium over in Charlotte there? I'm pretty sure it's Bank of America Stadium where the Panthers play. And oh, quick little funny aside, my son is Jackson. He's 7. He'll actually be 8 on Friday. So by the time you're hearing this, he will either be 7 or 8. That's or maybe not. Maybe you hear it like 100 years from now. Maybe you're an alien and it's like 1200 light years from now and you're hearing this. And at that point, you know, Jackson is just in the history books because of all the awesome things that my son is going to go do in life, of course, but it's all good. So anyway, my son is a fan of Marvel. So he knows Black Panther, of course, and he calls the Carolina Panthers the Black Panthers. He doesn't know enough to know about any of the other connotations about Black Panthers. He just knows the Marvel superhero. He sees a Black Panther on the helmet, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous moment of a kid being a kid. So in my house, they're the Black Panthers. Anyway, so the Seahawks are playing the Black Panthers this week. We got to go into Carolina. This is a pretty tough team at home. This is a pretty, pretty, pretty tough team at home. This is no small task. I don't have any predictions. I'm not coming at you with that. I'm just saying I just cannot wait to be back in my kind of big red chair over here that I have downstairs in my little romper room. I'm going to have a cold beer. I'll be on the Facebook pod Ring of Honor with all of y'all. I'll be on Twitter. Make sure you're hashtagging it 3 in, 3 out, 3I3O. Maybe we'll do something similar like this next week. Want to give a big shout out to all of you who contributed. This was a ton of fun. This was a lot of fun just to put it out there and say, listen, I didn't take a ledger this week. Hey, Flock, what do you got? So we Flock sourced it. You all came through and then some. So thank you to everybody who contributed. Hey, I couldn't fit everybody in. So some of you are on the outside. So I do, you know, hey, I'm not going to apologize, you know, do better next time. Maybe you get in, but in all seriousness, thank you for just taking the time for contributing to it, and just cannot wait to see what comes of this week coming up. So that's it. Hey, everybody, have an amazing and festive and love-filled Thanksgiving. If there's someone in your life who is, you know, maybe doesn't have all the blessings, or maybe is not surrounded by family and surrounded by friends, try and reach out to them. Try and give them a phone call. Tell them you love them. It could be a lonely time if you don't have that kind of support system, right? So if you got someone in your life who could use a little extra love on that day, give them a shout, give them a text, you know, tell them how much they matter to you. And of course, and then when you're around the turkey, when you're around the family, when you're around the football, have some fun, cheers each other, love each other, hug each other, and just be with your family and friends and make it the holiday that we know it is and that we love, and enjoy the celebration. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there listening. Happy Thanksgiving to the Flock. And then come Sunday, go Hawks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.